I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
SecondCityHockey.com.
Jonathan Toews.
Commit to us. Commit to the jersey. Commit to our people here.
Welcome into another episode of Musings on Madison here on the Second City Hockey Podcast Network. I'm your host, Dave Melton, the site manager for Second City Hockey. It's the middle of the hockey offseason, but we decided to get the usual crew together just for shits and giggles and all our other usual nonsense. So I've got the usual crew with me this evening. First off, you can find him on Twitter at Shepherd Price. He's the analytics darling of Second City Hockey, Shepherd Price.
Hi, if we don't count... if we as a society band together and do the common sense thing and do not count quarantine birthdays, I still qualify for top 25 under 25.
I do not, but I like where your head's at. So let's go for it. I have no objections whatsoever.
Yeah. So I get 2 years younger.
All right. The motion carries, no objections. Motion. I don't know what the tap, it counts. Whatever. Also with us this evening, he is the Second City Hockey. What Shirley Manson is the garbage. You can find him on Twitter at Mill182. It is Mill Savage.
I don't get to be Butch Vig. That's more in my looks zone.
All right. Well, I mean, sure.
I don't think you're giving me too much credit.
Yeah. I've always tried to stick with like the lead singer thing. Like I didn't want to branch into other positions and roles within bands, but sure. You want to be Butch Vig. Into garbage, that'll work too.
Did that Alanis Morissette garbage and Liz Phair tour happen?
I have no idea.
I wanted to go to that really bad.
Well, if it was going to happen in the fall, I might have some bad news for you because yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the status of concerts and everything is going to be again. So
I'm trying to see my girl Liz Phair, Dave. I can't put it off any longer.
I mean, it says they're playing September 11th out in the Tinley Park, whatever the hell that place is called these days. So
it's not the Tweeter Center or World Music. I don't know what it's called anymore.
It's now the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater. It's probably at least its 13th different name. So
thank God.
So there you go. Some you got about
with its $13 beers.
Yeah. So you got 3 or 4 weeks. I hope you got some binoculars because it's going to be pretty far to see them from the lawn.
It's day after Armor for Sleep.
Oh, well, we'll have to talk about that off air.
Yes.
Also with us this evening, and certainly not least, she is the Second City Hockey Bullenwall of Text. You can't find her on Twitter, but you can find her at Second City Hockey under the name LBR. It is Betsy.
I was going to talk about everybody gets into like holes on the internet. My latest one was in tree law. If anybody's ever, you guys know what tree law is?
Like the law of trees?
Yeah, laws around trees. So Reddit has a "Am I the asshole?" I went through that, and then some guy was talking about like he cut up a bunch of roots from his neighbor's tree. He'd never owned a home, and literally just opened up this new world I'd never heard of. And now I think I'm an expert in tree law in like 4 different states because it varies, but specifically Minnesota. Very well versed in Minnesota tree law. Well, never will go there, but now apparently I'm totally an expert.
I've been to the more wilderness parts of Minnesota. They have a lot of trees. They have all the trees.
Well, I'll just go ahead and say, if you ever have like a dispute with like a neighbor over anything, plant or shrubbery, always talk to officials and an arborist if you can before you do anything. Like otherwise, you could be liable for lots of money.
Where does one find an arborist?
I would assume arborist.com.
There's like most mid-sized to major cities have a dedicated arborist.
Yeah,
it's like Viva La Bam where they have the treehouse party for Arbor Day.
Well, I was like, there's apparently like there's companies in Atlanta. So I was just looking this up for fun, you know, that are like trees, like they call themselves tree surgeons, which is a very cool name. But yeah, they're essentially arborists that do specialty things. And I was like, okay, good to know. I don't own a home or anything. Like I own a condo, so I'm never going to have to deal with trees, but I needed to be an expert in this. So 2 hours was my time.
What is the most interesting tree law that you now know?
So in Minnesota, if you like hurt, like if you do damages to someone else's tree and it ends up killing them, person can require can essentially sue for 3 times the amount of the value of that tree. So if a tree is like one of the, like a really big oak tree, and depending on where you're living, say that tree was valued at like $20,000, you could essentially get the other person to not only pay for the removal of the now dead tree, which can cost, you know, upwards of like $5,000 or $6,000, even more than that if there's lots of power lines, but you then can request payment for the value of the tree, and that person would then owe $60,000 on top of that.
So if a tree falls in Minnesota and nobody is around to file a lawsuit.
Well, it all came up because this guy, like, his daughter tripped over a tree root that was from his neighbor's tree, and he hacked into all the roots, and because he cut into like he admitted to cutting into 3 different roots that were of a certain diameter. Everybody on there was like, tree law, you owe like $60,000. And I was like, what is this? And yeah, rabbit hole.
Tree law. All right.
Tree law.
That is,
there's like comics about it and all this other stuff. So I recommend anybody who wants to like, it sounds boring, but it was really, really interesting. And then there's a whole Reddit about it. Like this just tree law related and the stories people have on there. Loved it. Again, two and a half hours worth of my time. Completely engaged.
I'm very familiar with the idea of, or just losing yourself in 3 hours of the internet, just going down random wormholes of Wikipedia clicks or YouTube videos. I have not made it to tree law. Maybe I'll get there one day. Today for me, it was Sean Locke videos. I don't know if any of you guys know who Sean Locke is. He's a British comedian and he died today, and I'm still devastated because he's hilarious. Yeah, absolutely. He's on 8 out of 10 Cats Does Countdown, which is this British show. It's way too much to explain, but I've watched every episode of it on YouTube and I don't have it anymore. But the tree law is way more way more upbeat than my story. So let's stick with the tree law.
I think every time I drill Colleton in an article, I'm going to drop my article and Am I the Asshole on Reddit and see what people think.
All right. I have no idea how to recover from or how to segue out of the tree law. So I guess we're just going to have to branch into something different.
Oh.
Yeah, I hate myself.
Oh, hi, Brandon Kane. How are you doing? Been a while.
Hey, that's I've been called much worse. So we've got a purpose, actually, something we're going to talk about. But quickly, we just wanted to dive into the last 2 weeks of Blackhawk news, because it's been 2 weeks since we have convened. So in case you've missed it, all these stories are from secondcityhockey.com. But the Blackhawks signed Brandon Hagel to a 3-year, $4.5 million contract worth $1.5 million every year. Apparently, Troy Murray revealed he has a cancer diagnosis. Sounded like the prognosis was good and he's still going to work. So that's upbeat. And then a few days later, even worse news, Tony Esposito passed away at the age of 78. That was really a bummer. And I think our staff is very, because of our ages, we don't have as much of an emotional connection to that news as other people do. But I've never, but just the outpouring of stories of people that interacted with Tony Esposito, and like every single one of them was positive. And he was a great hockey player. Sounded like he was an even better person off the ice. So I don't have any, I unfortunately never met him, but everything you read and heard about the guy said he was just the type of person you want every pro athlete you aspire to be. Also, Blackhawks news from the last 2 weeks, they extended Mike Hardman for 2 more years. Victor Stahlberg announced his retirement. Alex Nylander signed a 1-year contract extension, and Mackenzie Entwistle signed a 2-year contract extension. That news actually came out today. So anything stand out to the panel from all of that fun for the last 2 weeks? Nope, didn't think so.
All right. Like one of the sad things, but there's many sad things about the Tony Esposito passing. One of the sad things is like he and Flower are very similar. Goaltenders play a very similar style. Like, if there was a goaltender you would hope would be alive as a Blackhawks legend to watch Flower, you would hope it would be Esposito. Yeah. But nope.
Yeah.
How did Bobby Hall outlive all those guys?
I have no idea.
Yes, thank you. How the hell is Bobby Hall like still
everybody
picking?
Else is
but
gone.
Stan Mikita and Tony Esposito, like, the good guys are gone. Pierre Palat, all the good guys are gone. And fucking Hitler had a few good ideas, is still here as an ambassador.
You know what,
what the hell is going on? Step.
Only the good die young.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's true. It's clearly true.
I don't
true.
Understand, like, just because of even the amount of partying and stuff, it's like, damn.
Tony Esposito, every time you saw him, like, he looked like he was in good physical health. He looked like he could still throw the pads on and go, you know, make a few saves if he needed to.
So what, 5 years ago, he was in like the best Vinny's commercial I've ever seen?
Yeah, totally.
That's right. That's right. Well, and like he did the, they did the One More Shift with him and his brother not all that long ago, I thought. I can't remember the exact.
Did Phil do that?
Yeah, it was, they had Tony and Phil there.
Because he hates, like, he talks shit about the Hawks all the time.
Yeah, well, I think
he. Yeah, but so did Chelios.
Well, that's fine. But like Phil Esposito is just like, he's very entertaining. If you ever listen to him on the radio called Tampa, he like yells, like he drills them on the radio. He's like, why would you do that? That was stupid.
Speaking of the YouTube vortexes and all that, the day that we got the news about Esposito, I was clicking through stuff on YouTube and found apparently Don Cherry used to do this thing called Grapevine. Looked like it was like 30-minute episodes where he would just rant about something for a few minutes. And then he'd have a guest on. And this episode I found was the Tony Esposito one. It was right after he'd retired. And it looked like they were it looked like the set of Cheers to me. It just could not be more 1980s if they tried. And as Esposito talked about his career and all this stuff, it was very interesting. I don't have anything else to add other than that. So, yeah. Moving on, I guess. The main reason we gathered this evening, though, unless you guys have like some really burning Mike Hardman thoughts, I don't.
I mean, I'm glad Mackenzie Entwistle and Brandon Hagel are sticking around a few years.
Yeah,
Entwistle
like showed some, like Betsy talked about this a lot, like his skating ability was noticeably improved the 5 games he played with the Hawks this year. So could be interesting to watch him play next year.
Good yeah, price. Keenan Hagel gets the opportunities.
Right. What'd you say, Mill?
Good price on Hagel.
Yeah. Yeah. Good deal. Absolutely.
Yeah. There was somebody in the comments that was like, oh, the Nylander deal, I'm glad they only signed them for 1 year. And I was like, of course we all think that, but I bet his agent also wouldn't have wanted more than a year either, because his pedigree, quote unquote, you know, like unrealized potential is so much higher. I bet that was a deal they both wanted 1 year, if they like a show me contract.
Blackhawk. I thought it was a one last shift contract.
Might be one last chance type of contract. Hey,
if he turns out to be good, I'm going to be in the back being like, I was saying Boo Earns. Like eating my words.
I mean, I was a huge Michael Nylander fan, so.
I just, 92 good, looks so hard on the jersey.
It too. Was a good deal for both the Blackhawks. If he ends up being good, then they didn't, you know, he'll get paid, but he won't get paid too much. If he ends up being bad, they could just throw him to Ice Hawks. Yeah. While Hagel, you know, he was an undrafted kid, so he might not repeat what he did last year points wise. He might put in the same energy and effort, but he may never get 0.5 PPG again. Who knows? He's such a wild card. So good price for whatever he does.
He's gonna be fun to.
I like him a lot.
Yeah, he. Well, I think you are in the majority of the Blackhawks fan base is quite big fans of him. So speaking of Hagel, because he still qualifies. For this list that we're going to talk about. Is we're starting to put together our top 25 under 25 list. It's kind of a thing we do a few times a year here at Second City Hockey, and we're putting it together. It's going to start hitting the airwaves on Monday. And one thing, I guess what we kind of want to do on this is kind of just dive into something more of the prospects that may not have gotten talked about as much. And we were talking about this a little bit earlier today, that it seems like it's more difficult to rank the guys this year because, like, I think, you know, spoiler alert, I'm pretty sure we're all going to have Alex DeBrincat at number one. It's probably going to happen. After that, I think is even starting with number two, it gets pretty open. But there's this giant group of guys that played last season and are still relatively young, but you're not sure if they're going to be in the NHL next season or if they're AHL. So there's just this huge swath of players in the Blackhawks organization that feel like they're all kind of in the same spot. And it's like roughly like numbers like 8 to 20, it seems like, where all these players are. So the main thing I wanted to do is just throw it out to anyone. If there's anybody in particular that you have a very high or maybe even very low opinion of, feel free to start. And we usually start off with Shepard. So Shepard, anybody in particular that's caught your eye in the last year or someone that might've flown under the radar that you wanted to heap some praise upon?
I fully anticipate being the highest person on this guy, but Landon Slager had a hell of a freshman season.
Well, wake up the echoes. I mean, come on. I'm going to support a Golden Domer anytime you do it. So.
Exactly. Like he killed it with Notre Dame last season. And I think he kind of did it out of nowhere, right? He was a late round pick.
Third? I want to say third.
Probably.
He's Barrett 2.0. Like, yeah. In terms of
hopefully with more ceiling.
I mean, yeah, I like Slager too. I think you will be the person that has him the highest though.
Yeah, third round pick, 79th overall.
Yeah, I have him 12th. Yeah, I have him 12th on my list.
Well, you don't have to give away all of the rankings just yet. Well,
I know.
It's your individual list.
I know. Okay. But he's doing, if he can repeat that or do better next season, like, I think he can be a middle six center for the Blackhawks in the future. And, like, that's even with Doc and Reichel down the middle for a few seasons. I think he's got a lot of potential, and he showed that this season.
Betsy, did you have anyone that you were particularly passionate about?
I don't know about passionate. So
okay. Maybe too strong of a word.
Heiser a lot.
Say that
Keizer.
Well, yeah.
How do you say his name specifically? So my when I was ranking these, you know, I had talked to you guys about like, hey, I like the whole like put them in tiers. And when I was doing this, the last few years, even when I wasn't on staff, I would just do it in the comments.
which is why we had you do it last year, I think, before you were officially on staff. But
I was like, this is pretty easy to tier them. And then this year comes and I'm like, oh, there's so much blonde. Like, there's so like wiggle room. But I have like where I have Kaiser like ranked, I feel like he has the potential to be much higher. Like, I think he could be in the like how we regard like Mitchell. Because I think he had a better freshman year than Mitchell did, for example. But, you know, it was such a shortened season and he's not super offensive. He's got the skill set for it, but I really liked everything that I saw from him in the NCAA. He was just really poised and really good at shut down. I liked his stick work, everything like that. So if people are excited about guys who can move really well and are lean into the defensive side of things a little bit more, I think Kaiser will excite people.
I was just about to ask you, because he's a young defenseman from Minnesota, so my mind always goes to Nick Leddy. But you mentioned the defensive side of it, so it sounds like he has more of a defensive game than Nick Leddy did.
And he's not huge. I think he's like average size. But he's got... I think he was drafted more to be in the line of the Boquist Mitchell kind of style, just because he put up in when he was with the USHS, I want to say, with the Minnesota version of that. He put up like over a point per game and he drove a bunch of their power play and stuff like that. When he got to Minnesota Duluth, they put him in the top pairing and then he kind of played more the defensive guy on that pairing. And he just really did well there. So his points were fine. I would think it was like 10 and like 30, 28, something like so many games, but he's only like 6 foot.
6 foot, 173 pounds. At least that's what the Hawks roster has him at.
So he's got to put on, like, if he puts on a little bit of weight, you know, he could be in the, like, Duncan Keith kind of weight class when he gets a little bit older. But his foundation is really strong. So I watched way more college hockey than anything else. So I can't speak to the Euros quite as much.
Well, and this year's rankings are going to be significantly more difficult than any other ones before, because as you mentioned, Betsy, that's such a weird hockey season last year. And some guys didn't play at all. Some guys played in different leagues. Some guys barely played. Like it's not, there's not as much tape or anything to go off of. There's not a lot of scouting reports out there for some of these guys because they didn't have much hockey to play, which is going to be interesting to figure out how all this works. And going through just like formulating the list of players for this, there's so many guys that I forgot that have been added to the organization within the last year that qualify for this list now. Like Adam Gaudette is there. Henrik Borgstrom is there. Riley Stillman's there. Caleb Jones is there. Like there's a lot of people on this list. I'm like, oh yeah, God, I forgot he's in this group too. They have a lot of guys under the age of 25 that are with some or with like NHL games on their radar than I feel like they've had in the last 4 to 5 seasons, at least like putting this together. I felt like it was, you know, the top 7 or 8 guys were NHL talents or first round picks. And then it was a bunch of guys that were like nowhere near the NHL. This year, there's a ton of them. And I think that's a byproduct of all the youth movement and everything they've been doing. Mill, who's your guy?
Well, I just want to start out by saying a lot of these towards the bottom guys, it's really hard for me to rank because I'm always thinking about how will they translate to the pros. You know what I mean? Like that game speed is so different and the college game is different from like the AHL and et cetera. But the guy that I like a lot, who I don't think will be a superstar, but I think it's going to be a really good player, played for the Hawks last year. And that's Wyatt Kalinuk.
Mm-hmm. I think he was, we had him at 18 last offseason, and he's probably top 10 easily.
I think that he is a guy who, like, because he was a late bloomer, he wasn't really hyped at all. but his fundamentals were so good. And then he didn't have problems just into NHL game speed. So like he's making that half second, you know, that decision half second before everybody else reacts. His react time is really good. He makes really good passes in his own end. And he actually, I think, could be a better offensive player if they use him correctly. He's kind of like Hjalmarsson passing wise, if that makes sense, in his own zone. Like he could make those passes, but he has offensive awareness as well. So I think he's going to be a really usable player.
Okay. I had two guys that I'm more interested to see more. The first one is Isaac Phillips, who didn't play a ton of games in Rockford last year, but he had some pretty big highlights that were intriguing, especially for a fifth round pick who I believe would have been somewhere in the juniors. I forget which league he plays for, whichever league.
OHL.
And they did not have a season last year, if I remember correctly. So he got the exemption to play with the Ice Hogs. He played in 27 games, scored a couple goals, and was just, for a guy who was a fifth round pick and would not have been in the AHL last season, seemed like he afforded himself well. So I'm intrigued to see what else he can accomplish. I'm not sure how exactly the next hockey season is going to shake out, because I don't think they know how the hockey season is going to shake out. And the other guy, and this goes back to they actually drafted him this year. And I can't remember. I don't know if I just read a really well-written scouting report or if there were things in there that were just very intriguing to me, but Ethan Del Mastro in the fourth round that the Hawks picked this year, something about him that I was reading or watching, something clicked in my head to like, I like keep an eye on this guy just to see what happens. I don't think I'm going to have him in my top 25 because he's a fourth round pick this year. And there's, as we've talked about already, there's a ton of guys ahead of him, but that's one guy that I'm intrigued by. So we'll see what happens with him wherever he goes this season. But yeah. Any other names? Like we gave everybody one, but I don't know if there's anybody else that you guys were particularly intrigued by or interested in.
I learned all of
Arvid Soderblom. Yeah.
I had trouble trying to decide where I wanted to put him because like, Kemeso is technically a better prospect and I like his foundation better, but Soderblom has better stats on a worse, like it's still a decent team in the SHL, but he played more games and had great numbers. So do you put them together or do you break them apart? I kind of have all my like.
And it's also a Blackhawks European scout find. So that immediately is like puts him.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's yeah.
Yeah. I originally had three goaltenders on my list and I just had to drop one.
Who do you have? Who's the other goaltender?
Bass.
Oh yeah. I wouldn't put him in the top. He floundered a little bit this year.
That's speaking of him, one of his teammates, Josiah Slavin, had a interesting, seemed like there was a reporter and I forget her name, but seemed like every time she would tweet about Colorado College, Josiah Slavin scored a goal. So that's another guy, like, just keep an eye on it. I don't know how good he's going to be. He was a very late round pick, but I think he was.
Same thing could be said about Connor Kelly, who just got, he was an overager technically in the draft this year. And I think, would they pick him in the fourth round?
That sounds like third round to me, but
I can't remember. All I know is that I like him. The Blackhawks, this draft, I think they reached for Allen, but everybody else, other than Harding, who I don't know anything about.
Yeah, I don't think anyone does.
Harding, again, I still don't.
Again, he's big and he's Scottish.
I still don't know anything. So,
I expect that you have to talk in the Scottish accent for the rest of this pod.
I think they did a good job of picking like shotgun effect of maybe one of these guys could be boom. Like a diamond in the rough. I think honestly, anybody past like the top 10 that we're going to rank are going to be those, like, I might rank him 23rd and he might end up being a superstar. You don't know these guys who knows. They're just so.
That's my problem too.
They're kids. Yeah.
I'll peel back the curtain a little bit. Like I think I wrote this last year when we did our roundtable reactions to it for after 21 to 25, I wrote like, I don't really like, you can only read and write so much. Like none of us are hockey scouts. We watch probably more hockey than probably is healthy, but we like, I don't know how you differentiate between the guy at 21 and 24. It's just kind of, I don't want to say you flip a coin, but at some point it's like, it's really hard to figure out what the difference is between these two guys.
Or you never know any, but like Hagel was like what, 19th or 20th last year?
17th.
Yeah. So
just ahead of Wyatt Callum.
Oh, a little bit. Yeah. Okay. So you've got those two guys who I think all of us are going to have.
We had Matthew
either in our top 10 or right around it.
We had Matthew Highmore and Lucas Carlson ahead of both of them.
Because they had more experience. Like it's the age old question of, do you go by ceiling or do you go by experience? And some of these guys I have on my list, like I go back and forth on Caleb Jones, because I don't, like if you're going by ceiling, I don't think he's anything more than a maybe competent third pairing. So I'm going to have guys like Phillips, who I actually think could maybe have top four potential. Yeah. I got to put him over him, right?
Yeah. Maybe. Well, I don't know. Like that's a tough.
Right. Exactly. It's the back and forth. I'm like,
Yeah. Because like you were saying, but like to Caleb Jones' credit, like he made the NHL, and like a lot of these, plenty of these prospects will never make the NHL. Like that's the.
I know how that feels.
NHL.
Yeah, I'm an overager now, but you know what? Too, it's hard because scouts, like when we read scouting reports, they all look at different stuff. So it's like for some people, obviously, we all look at like analytics and game tape, but they're looking at things like how is this guy skating? How is he on his edges, inside, outside, strong side, far side? You know, all this stuff, and then like stick positioning and things like that. And it's like for me, it's like, with the Hawks, and we talk about system a lot, but it's like they're going to need guys who can skate. So their scouts might rank guys who are better skaters, faster skaters. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel like that's with every Hawks draft pick this year, like my number one question is, can he skate? Like that's because that's the way the league's going, is can you skate? I like all the other stuff's cool and like it helps you be a good hockey player, but like it's like the foundation now is, can you skate? Because if you can't skate,
the second Doc's little brother.
Yeah. But also skating is fixable. Again, remember that Alex DeBrincat fell in the draft, A, because he was small, which was dumb, but B, because like one of the knocks on him was his skating, and he fixed that.
Yeah.
Well, skating is fixable for some, because Nikita Zadorov, you cannot fix his skating, even though he filed for arbitration.
I think it has to be up to the player whether or not they're going to do that.
Yeah.
He might not have thought his skating was bad. Like he seemed to think he was he's asking for how much money, you know, and got how much money. Or is he still an arbiter? I don't know. But DeBrincat knew his, like from the beginning, he pretty much said, and I'm going to work on my skating.
And again, Mackenzie Entwistle is your evidence for you put in the work, you can improve your skating. Especially when some of those guys, like I imagine once you become part of a professional hockey organization, as opposed to being in juniors, you have access to a lot more resources, such as coaches who can really help you become a better skater or a better shooter or a better passer or what have you.
Well, yeah, a lot of these guys too play throughout different leagues, be it college, ECHL, AHL, the Q, whatever it is. So it's like when you're playing against different types of competition, that factors in as well. Like if you're a child playing with men, or if you're playing with guys who suck, you're better. Like Connor McDavid. Like, I mean, obviously he's that good, but like, you know, he was running over his league. He got the special exemption to play at 14 or whatever.
Yeah. And like by the time he was like his last OHL season, I think he was on the line with Strom and DeBrincat, and like I think they all three of them had 100 points. But that's not like there's that line between you're so much better than everyone else, but you're really really dominating in a way that's impressive.
Yeah, and then you play against NHL defenses who are top line pros, and they have coaches who know how to shut you down. You're going to struggle. It's just. It's so hard to figure, like you can't predict it.
Yeah. I'm glad it's not my full-time job. I don't have to be an NHL scout. I can just be an armchair one on the internet.
I just learn about these children from reading Shepard and Betsy's pieces, because like, I don't know what I'm talking about. Let's be honest. These are large ice.
That's children. Our new Second City Hattie motto. We don't know what we're talking about. Let's be honest. All right. Well, I think that's pretty much most of the prospect stuff we want to talk about. Got some few other things that we're going to dive into quickly on a far less serious tone. So yeah, so come back on the other side of this timeout for all of that stuff.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
Welcome back to Musings on Madison. And as promised before the break, one to kind of, you know, it's the off season. It's the middle of August. You know, the Justin Fields is taking over the city of Chicago. Hockey's not really on the forefront of anyone's minds. So we kind of wanted to maybe step away from the too in-depth conversation and dive into something a little more off kilter this evening. So we put out a few feelers for some questions from Twitter, from the comment sections of Second City Hockey. So we're going to answer a few of those, maybe talk about some food things, then we're going to get out of here. So this question I got from on Twitter from Peter Evans, who's on Twitter at underscore Midwesterner. It's a little bit of inside baseball because I know Peter, and he's asking for a best Hawks road trip story because he probably wants me to talk about the one that we were on together, which we went to Columbus. Chris Ball-Huey gave up 10 goals and we almost died on the way home in the worst snowstorm of all time. But I think my best Hawks road trip story is quite simply, I was at the game where Brent Seabrook almost killed David Backes. And I have never in my life been so confident that 15,000 people wanted to fight me. There was palpable rage inside that building that I can't really describe it to you that well. I just know I felt like I was in danger and I thought somebody was going to fight me. And then at the end of that game, after I think Barrett fucking Jackman scored the overtime goal, I had a 10-year-old kid in front of me yelling, "Suck it," repeatedly and pointing at me. And it's his mom was laughing at me. So there's that story. Anybody else have a good Hawks road trip story?
Well, if you're going by best game moment on a thing, then mine's the Patrick Kane hat trick in the playoffs. But if you're going by events on a road, because I'm not from Chicago and my family went up there, but if you're going by events that happened on the road trip,
some of column A, some of column B, pick your favorite. It's open.
My favorite trip I've ever taken was to Nashville. The game was inconsequential. I don't even think the Blackhawks won. I'm pretty sure they lost. But we obviously hit the bars. It was like a girls' trip afterwards. And we got like sucked into this like bachelor party that was going from bar to bar because one of my friends is like, she makes friends wherever she goes. So she ended up getting like, they had these t-shirts that had, you know, like a list on the back of them. And, you know, they were like, get a woman to buy you a drink or let them motorboat you. You know, some of them were gross and some of them weren't.
Sounds like a bachelor party.
Exactly. And so they were doing, you know, the bars up and down Broadway, but my friend made friends with one of the guys on the group. So we just were walking with them the entire time. I got a ton of free drinks. I didn't have to do anything gross on any of the lists. So that was nice to get them either. But my friend she danced on a bar. That was great to watch. She went up and did karaoke at one of the ones that's named after a country star. She got her picture on the wall of Tootsie's, and it was by far, hands down, one of the most fun trips because I didn't pay for anything. I got pretty drunk, but I didn't have to do anything like skeezy to get them.
Now, my only follow-up question is, what are the odds that this friend that you are talking about is going to listen to this podcast?
She's not.
Okay, that's good.
She's not going to care, though, either.
No, I figured, but I was just
She's in L.A. now, so her team is the Kings, and she doesn't. The only players she could have named were, like, Quick and Kopitar, maybe. So she's not really into hockey. She's one of those people who's like, I have a jersey and yeah, I'll go to the game with you because it's Nashville and there's drinking involved. And yeah,
it's still not a bad night. Like, I think you can convince a lot of people to go to a hockey game. Like, hey, there'll be booze.
Yeah. I just, We got
me booing from the 300 level.
It was an afternoon game, and we got there, and I hadn't had anything for breakfast, but we went up to the club level, and we missed the anthems, and the lady that was giving us our drinks, I was like, give me a double, and she goes, okay, and she started pouring the shot, and she kind of just let it overflow a little bit. So we were drunk from like the beginning all the way to the end, because we just walked out and went to bars after that. So it was a really fun trip that I, for some reason, remember pretty well, considering how much alcohol was involved. But I highly recommend getting drunk in Nashville.
I've heard that. Maybe I might have to wait a few months, unfortunately, before any more road trips happen.
Also Nashville, like Tennessee in general, is gross right now.
Yeah.
The weather's terrible. It's super hot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody wears masks. You're going to get.
Okay. You're going to have a bad time.
Wait till fall. That's when you go.
Okay. All right. I got you. So like November. Well, I didn't even see when the Hawks schedule is out. See when they play in Nashville. But Miller Shepherd, either one of you have any Hawks road trip stories to share with the class?
I mean, I've been to Hawks games in both Boston and LA, but I was living in those places at that time. So no road trip stories.
Mill, what about you?
The last game I went to before the COVID was actually on the road in Pittsburgh, because my family's from Pittsburgh, so I go there a lot. And I remember being so excited to finally see in person Kirby Doc and Adam Boquist, and they were both scratched. And I wanted to climb across the seats to the bench and punch Jerry Collison in the face. But you know, the actually coolest wasn't a game, but I went to the Hall of Fame in Toronto the summer after they won the cup in 13, and they did a different day for every team, and if you wore that gear you got a discount. So I wore a Bolin jersey, and there's tons of Hawks fans. It was really cool. And then I went into a store next to the, I don't know what it's called now, but the ACC where the Leafs play, and some guy who was ringing me up was like, oh, you got a Bolin jersey. I was like, yeah. He's like, those are his parents right there. They're just walking out. Because he just had got traded to Toronto. So that was pretty cool. But other than that, nothing really. I've seen the Hawks at the UC a billion times, but I don't go to too many road games. Unfortunately, I should. They're fun.
I highly recommend, like, once we don't have no idea what it's going to look like in terms of attendance and everything this winter, but highly recommend road trips for sports in general. Like, I have a group of friends, we go see the Bears on the road every year, and that's always a good time. It's a good way to, you have an excuse to explore a random city. You have an event to plan around, and you can pick a city, but like there's some sort of organization to it, to where like you can check off a list. So like, It just helps give you a tangible thing to plan around, instead of just like, I don't know, like, you know, throwing a dartboard at a map of the US and saying, I'm going to go here instead. Just trying to think if I don't think I can top Betsy's Nashville hygiene. Cause like I haven't been to Nashville. Like, I feel like all the towns I've been to have been a little bit more subdued, like Denver and.
I partied in Denver on a Hawks trip too. You guys just need to party more, I think. Go with a bunch of girls and, yeah, okay.
I mean, like, I'm not saying I don't want to do that. It's just a lot harder than it sounds to get a bunch of girls to want to go on a Hawks road trip with me and party.
That's true.
I'm all here for it.
When we're planning trips, we always pick, like, I always try to force my friends into picking cities that have hockey in them, and they don't always coincide with Hawks games. Cause like the trip I was in with Dallas I don't remember who it was. I just remember Patrick Sharp had a hat trick in it, and I was like, that's good enough for me. but yeah, you just have to like force your friends to be like, okay, you want to go somewhere in this area, let's go to Boston. I've been to the Caps games a bazillion times because I have friends in DC.
But isn't it weird seeing like two hockey teams play without the Hawks in it? Like, it's a different feeling.
It is.
You guys ever done that?
you're not as
I did Blues and Bruins.
Yes, it is very weird.
It's weird to watch a hockey game and not have like in person and not having a emotional reaction to what is happening on the ice.
Yeah, shootouts are fun.
It's very weird, says the person who covered and is now a fan of the Vegas Golden Knights.
Like, I'm in Pittsburgh a lot, so usually if it's summer, I go see the Pirates. But, like, I remember I had Steeler tickets, and the day before, the Penguins were playing Vancouver. So what a weird matchup, right? But I went to that, and Tortorella was still a coach, and he was, like, doing one of those where he was trying to fight everybody, and he was just, like, super hot and yelling. You could hear him. And I'm just like, you know what? I'm here for this.
I got to, when my New York trip was, they were playing the Wild, and I was like, okay, I know it was like, I was like, this is going to be a boring game, but it was okay. Panarin scored. That was cute. I got him coming out of the, like, I got to go, my friends are, they at least indulge me. Cause I'm like, I got to watch warmups if I have a player that I care about. And obviously I care about Panarin. So I was like, I'm going to watch, though they don't let people get near the glass at, Madison Square Garden, unless you're a kid. So they were like, children can come. And I was like, I'm fine with not going down there. I just want to be able to see and take pictures like a fangirl. Cause I am.
I mean, like during Hawks warmups, I'm usually at Steelworks.
Exactly. the Blackhawks play in Nashville on April 16th. Last game. Looks like the last game.
They also play,
and New Year's Day.
New Year's Day. Yeah. Cause, one of my friends hit me up about it, who is going to be in town in Atlanta during that time period. And then was like, we could always road trip up to Nashville and you could hit your game. Cause it's an afternoon game and we could still party. And I was like, I don't know if I'm young enough for that anymore. Like, we'll take it.
That's going to be my excuse because we've already established I'm significantly older than everyone else in this group. So that's going to be my excuse. I was too old to party.
Yeah, but Dave, we're both from Northwest Indiana. So, like, once you hit a certain age, we're all just the same person. You're just, like, drinking beer,
listening to
rock music.
And the thing is, Shepard and Betsy, you guys don't know how accurate that statement is.
Like, we all dress the same.
I'm pretty sure I'm closer to your guys' age than I am Shepard's. Shepard's a baby.
I think Shepard's the same age as my brother.
I wish I was that age.
I think. No, my brother's a little younger than you. But, like, I mean, it doesn't matter after a certain point. You're older than the doc's son. You're fine.
You can get in, at some point in your 20s, it's like, as long as everyone can get into the bar, you're fine. And then I think once you progress into your 30s, like, there is a point where anybody under 30, for the most part, you really don't have as much time for them anymore, I feel. Just because it's... Yeah. Different people.
I'm a day older than Kevin Lankinen, and that's all I care about.
I found out recently that I'm as with the White Sox game on in the background, I am the same age to the day of Lance Lynn, who is also from Indiana. So we're basically the same person. Although
Lance Lynn is young. I thought Lance Lynn was older than that.
Thanks.
He played for the Cardinals forever. I hated that guy in the Cardinals. But now that I'm divorcing the Ricketts, I have no preference.
Yeah. So so there's that. I guess we're out of that was the one main question I wanted to get to. The other one, hang on. I had to pull this up because we gotta I requested off topic questions and we got one that was this is from Hockey Life. The handle is it starts spelling Blackhawks and there's a bunch of numbers. So this might be a bot. I don't know, but said, do you think taking on a second mortgage and a small upfront cost of fixing a house up to be a rental property is worth the time and the money? And, as a licensed real estate appraiser, I will tell you, just let someone else buy the house because other people should be allowed to buy houses because it's a really difficult time to buy houses right now. So just sell the house, let someone else buy it and have a house. That's my professional opinion. So there we go. There's that one. Any other ones that I missed? I think there's a food take that we wanted to dive into because it's been 2 weeks, so I have no idea whose turn it was.
Can I ask a question before you guys go?
Go ahead, Betsy.
I have a question. If you had to like recommend something that you started watching TV wise recently, what would it be? Because I need a new TV show.
Ted Lasso.
Watching Ted Lasso already.
Okay.
What services do you have access to?
Anything. Honestly, I could just get logins from friends. I'm not.
That's the best answer. Do you already watch Doctor Who?
I do watch Doctor Who. And it's her last season. Like, she just wrapped. So I'm sad.
Oh, I'm rewatching 11 because that's my doctor. Oh, yeah.
I get that.
Go ahead. Sorry.
All right. So, like, this goes back to the Sean Locke thing I was talking about earlier. They're all on YouTube. It's like a comedy and game show all at once. It's called 8 out of 10 Cats Does Countdown. And like there's the game has it's a bunch of comedians playing a game show where there's a bunch of anagrams and there's math equations. They give you 6 numbers. They put a 3-digit number on the board. And you got to use those 6 numbers to get to the 3-digit number. And it's just a bunch of comedians making fun of each other. You learn a lot about the geography of England in terms of where all the stupid people in England are from, where all the rich assholes in England are from. Like, and then you get all the British accents. And anytime they have a few Germans that pop up from time to time. And apparently anytime any German shows up on the show, World War II references get trotted out. So that's pretty good.
Is just like watching The Prem.
Sure. So that's my recommendation. 8 out of 10 Cats Does Countdown. They're all on YouTube.
Yeah. Okay.
There's a really good show. If you like D&D or / fantasy at all, called Dimension 20 on Dropout.
I do like,
what the hell is Dropout?
College Humor. Did you watch College Humor
back in the day?
It's College Humor's platform.
Good luck. Okay. Is that like a streaming service you have to pay for?
Mm-hmm. But it's definitely, it's very much worth it because of Dimension 20.
Was not aware that College Humor A still existed and B was.
Oh yeah. Streaming
things. Wow. All right.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I learned something new this evening. This is a very informative podcast.
I'm just saying I like had to go back to my, like, I was building furniture and now I'm like in a hole of SVU. I need to get out.
Sounds like you need to take a road trip to Nashville. Well, all
right,
maybe.
No, not right now. I don't go outside right now. I don't do any road trips in the summer if I can help it.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
The South is gross. Okay.
Yeah.
In general.
Yeah. Yeah. Stay inside where the air conditioning is.
Exactly. All right. Also, I'm not going to get on a plane right now either.
Well,
I have to in a few days. And it's really brutal is I have to wake up early to go to the airport. And the night before, I'm going to be at the United Center for Wrestling.
Please, if there's any drunk unruly passengers, please record it and put it on the internet so they can be publicly shamed.
I'm going to be the drunk ass passenger. I'm going to be drinking the aluminum bottle beers at the airport.
I just hope you're not flying Spirit because I don't think
you're. No, I think I'm flying Midwest.
Okay.
Southwest. Sorry. It's cheap. It doesn't matter. It's a 2-hour flight.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Give me a stupid ass snack and I'm going to try to sleep.
That's what the drinking's for. I will say, like, just whenever I fly, getting to the airport like an hour or two early, I feel is so worth it because, like, once you get through security and everything, like, that's when your vacation begins. Go get a beer, go get some food, and just sit and just hang out because, like, you got your bags packed, you got through security. All you're doing is waiting for a plane. I feel like that is the best time because your vacation is just beginning. You have all the optimism and all the possibilities for it. So this is advice for Mill. This is for advice for everyone. If you're flying somewhere, leave a few hours early and just chill at the airport.
Well, you know what happens to me is my full given name is very European. So I always get searched. I'm always taking my shoes off and stuff. It's terrible.
Oh God.
I'm literally going to fly in like some slides and a pair of sweatpants because I don't want to deal with it.
I have a very boring name and a very standard appearance. So that's a perk that I have is I usually get through security pretty quickly. I look pretty unassuming. Also not tall. So that doesn't help either. All right. So
yeah.
we got a food take. It's a little, you know what, like it's on the precipice of fall right now. Like I mentioned at the top, like football's happening. I get those. I I feel like summer's starting to wind down just a little bit, like school's back.
Too early for that. What's wrong?
Premier League. I know, it's really weird that they start school in mid August.
My cousins went back to school today. I'm like, are you kidding me?
I thought like you didn't start until at least like the mid 20s of August is when school is supposed to start, which feels like that's the way it should be. Like, let kids have summer. But anyway, the whole point of this is that Rays 28 to the Raptors, who probably shares the title of biggest Steve Larmer fan on the internet, frequent commenter at Second City Hockey, wanted to offer the take on. Or just what is your take on chili versus soup versus chowder versus gumbo versus all? I'm guessing the entire genre we're dealing with here, for lack of a better term, is like brothy, liquidy dishes that go get served in a bowl. I guess what's your number one out of that group?
Soups.
Chili's not a soup. Chili's chili. I think we've had.
I got this thing to say real quick. When shows were still a thing, my band, when we'd have to go on the road and like play somewhere far, we'd play a game. It'd be called Is It Soup? And we would name like liquidy things. And everybody has to give their take and majority wins. So you could do like chili, or you could say, is ice cream a soup? And like, it'd just be a game. You know what I mean? It's just to entertain yourself.
Yes.
Soup has to be hot.
Well, see, but that's your opinion, right?
No, there are cold soups. Yeah, exactly. There are cold soups.
Good news, everybody. I brought enough gazpacho for all.
First, ice cream's a dessert. It's not like, no. Ice cream is not ice cream.
Desserts can be sandwiches. Desserts can be burgers. Desserts can be many things, Dave.
Burgers.
I'm from Northwest Indiana, so we eat lemon rice soup every fucking day.
That's true. shout out to the commander. But
yeah, it's in my fridge right now.
We can't even define what a soup is. I don't even know how we're going to get to the second part of this conversation.
Soup is based on how much liquid is in it. So there's like a specific amount of like liquid that makes it a soup. So like, that's
what's
like
the question, though?
The legitimate definition, the difference between like a stew, a chili, and a soup.
Thank you. I was going to say, what's the difference between a stew and a soup?
Well,
I think the idea is just like, you're going to pick your winner out of this entire group of chilies and soups and I guess chowder, which I'm not familiar with because I haven't been to New England enough.
So a soup contains enough cooking liquid to fill a bowl and allows its ingredients to float. Stews contain a bit of cooking liquid to simmer the other ingredients.
Did you just Google that? Is that?
I did, because I was like,
you were reading that from somewhere.
Then chili is a stew.
I guess.
All right. Well, look, I'm just going to start. Chili is number one. Chili is the best of all of these dishes.
No, chowder is the number one.
It's chowder.
Chowder.
I haven't had enough. Again, I feel like you have to go to New England for that, and I've been to New York for like 2 days, and so.
Oh, you can have like corn chowder.
Please tell me you did not waste one of your New York meals on Manhattan clam chowder, because that is one of the worst creations ever made. Clam chowder does not need to be tomato based. Thank you.
Okay. I didn't.
I had at Carnegie Deli.
I have like I didn't know that chowder is a thing. Honestly, like I just thought it was another type of soup.
Chowder is actually really good.
Yeah, I love corn chowder, shrimp chowder, mushroom chowder.
I like corn chowder. It's like spicy. It's really good.
All right, but I'm still not really good. It's better than chili.
It's clam chowder. You haven't had clam chowder enough.
I've had clam chowder.
It's just.
Is that the red or the white?
The white. White.
I have a recipe.
That's a very. You're all too young for
it. Very crucially, the white.
You might like. I use fake meat, obviously, but I make a cheeseburger soup.
Interesting.
And it's like really good, but it's kind of like chili because you have that beef in there. So I think soups can be more custom.
See,
there are a lot of soups.
Biscuits, yeah, there's a ton of soups. Chili is a very specific type of stew. Soup is like a generic phrase for a bunch of liquid-based food items.
I feel like I need soup in my life the most because, like, if I'm sick or if it's cold. You know, just like consistently, not saying it's my favorite.
Yeah, if you're sick, you do not want warm cream, which is what chowder is.
That's yeah, absolutely not.
A weird sentence. I'm sorry.
I mean,
gross. That's what chowder is.
You have to get into like what's gumbo. Gumbo is like a soup stew because it's both. Like I
feel like that. Like I've had like some versions of gumbo, but I feel like I'm not. Again, I feel like that's another topic. Food
gumbos. Yeah,
I'm
not
anywhere
right?
near qualified to discuss.
I am of the opinion. You want gumbo to have the same consistency as chili.
I guess it depends on what, like, are you talking about like seafood gumbo or are you talking about, cause you know, it goes over rice. So you don't want it to be super liquidy. So yeah, I guess I could see that.
Is gumbo like a hybrid?
I always considered it like a thick soup, but yeah, I guess it really is.
I've never had it before.
I'll say when it's in the pot, it's very liquidy, but when you're putting it in your bowl over rice, you're not putting enough for it to like anything to float.
Yeah, because the rice probably soaks that up too, right?
Yeah, exactly. So you're like trying to get it. Not all gumbo is served over rice, but most gumbo is. That's a very big thing with gumbo and rice because they're all from the same area.
The closest thing I've had to gumbo is just having yats, which I feel like is a very like fast foodized version of it. But it's still very, like, I enjoyed it immensely. And there used to be one up here that recently closed. And I still haven't recovered from it.
You put in thickening, you know, you put in thickening into gumbo, which you don't do in most soups.
You start with a roux, so that
yeah, exactly. Really so yes, yeah. I agree. I probably do.
I need to start writing down all these food. And I need to like. I still haven't ventured around to grits, even though I saw some at the grocery store, and I'm like, I could buy this and try and make it myself. But
I had grits this morning, but they were instant. They were good though. I had them with. They were still good.
I want to try it too because I cook old fashioned oatmeal almost every morning.
Ooh,
like not oatmeal, but like
oatmeal. All right. Does oatmeal count in this group?
No, oatmeal is oatmeal.
Okay.
Well, like I make like straight up oats. Like it's not really watery.
Mm. Okay. So all right. So like I've declared chili. It sounds like Shepherd is putting chowder into his number one. Mill and Betsy, what's your number ones out of this group? Out of this whole.
Like out of the ones we just listed?
Yeah. You got to pick a winner out of all of these. Soup, stew, chili, chowder, everything.
Chili is my favorite, like,
chili
if I'm making
stew,
it.
Chili is stew, though. We just said that.
Well, yeah, I know. All right, but chili is, like, my favorite one of this entire category. That's what I was getting at.
If I had a favorite of a category of stew, it's going to be gumbo.
Yes.
But if I was going to pick, if I had to eat only stews or only soups, I'd probably go soups.
Yeah.
Because I like a larger variety of soups than I do of stews, even if the best of the bunch is a stew. Does that make sense?
I think that's a Texas size 10.
I think the thing like is chili is awesome by itself. Like, you can make cornbread or whatever, but like,
yes.
And if you have soup, like, I want tomato soup with a grilled cheese or something. You know what I mean? Like, you want something with it. Soup's like a side.
If you put enough stuff in soup, it can be a meal.
But then it's like you might as well just make chili.
Yeah. You need a side with soup. You need, like.
What about, like, chicken noodle soup? You don't need a side with that. I mean, you can have a side with that. It's actually really good in like a bread bowl, but
a grilled cheese with your chicken noodle soup. You need a grilled cheese.
I think soup is the side. I think that might be the difference. Soup is the side.
That's what I'm saying.
The main course,
or like you get soup and salad.
I guess it can. Yeah, I mean,
chili's only ever a side if you go to like Wendy's or something. But like when people make chili, like that's what they eat.
Like there's nothing better than like a Sunday. In November, December, with you make a huge ass pot of chili and you watch the Bears at noon and then the Hawks at 6. That is the ideal Sunday in November, December for me.
We decided chowders or soups, right? And lots of chowders are main courses.
I think it depends
on the soup. More soups can be sides, but almost all stews are the main course, but there are soups that can be main courses.
Like, I guess it's cultural too. It depends on the soup. Cause like for me, like Serbian style, it's like you have soup at like every huge meal, but that's like what you eat first and then you eat the meal. You don't like just
it's the,
have
it's
soup.
The first course.
Yeah, I think soups are supposed to be like I don't know if they're a side. I think they're the first course. I think soups are supposed to be like an appetizer.
That's
kind of like we'll have salad like, sometimes first too.
Yeah, like in fancy restaurants, you'll have like a super salad, a soup or salad.
Right.
The old super salad joke. That like that's the first like serving, and then you go with your entree.
Yeah. All right.
But if you ordered soup for the first course and chili for the entree, then you're just an asshole.
I mean, there's liquid. I think there's like jambalaya and a bunch of other soups that can be main soups. It just depends on.
Yeah, we're just gonna need to make a. We're gonna need to do an article. It'll just be two columns. It'll be one will be soups and one will be stews. We will just everything under that sun can be placed in there.
Stew pickles, shout out.
All right,
Stew Crimson, shout out.
Okay, well, I think that's a good place to end this episode of Musings on Madison. Now that we're firmly off the rails and just crash into a bowl of soup, so. So thanks for listening to this episode. I'm on Twitter. I forgot to mention I'm back on Twitter again. It's at @SCH_DaveM. Mill is at Mill182. Shepherd is at Shepherd Price. Betsy's not on Twitter, but you can find all her stuff at secondcityhockey.com under the name LBR. That's where you can find all of our stuff. The top 25 under 25 series will be starting up next week, so you can look forward to that. If any other Blackhawks news happens, we'll write about it. I don't know how much is going to happen for the next month because it seems like everybody's signed, everyone's under contract, and they're just kicking the can down the road on that lawsuit, so I don't think anything's happening with that for a while either. So we'll find between all the top 25 stuff, I'm sure we'll find some other things to write about just to entertain hopefully you and definitely ourselves. So I think that'll do it for this episode. So thank you very much for listening. Thanks to everyone else for hanging out. And as always, go Hawks.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.